Steve, thank you. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. And we are joined by the feisty Chicago Tribune columnist, Eric Zorn. You are nothing but feisty, Eric.
I'm ready for bear.
Yep.
Can I tell you, this is the one that should stick and we should use all the time. I think you hit your stride
this
here.
Could be the one.
That'll work. That might work.
Yep. I like it.
Yeah.
Feisty.
Is there more feist going on in the United States right now than in recent years? It seems like there is.
I think the feistiness level is high.
Yeah.
I think we're at about 95%. Maybe we've hit peak feisty. I don't know.
I hope not. I hope there's always room for a little more feist, I would hope.
I'd hope a little more feist. Wasn't there, there's a pop singer feist?
Feist, yeah, she's very good.
Yeah.
She's great.
1, 2, 3, 4, right?
Is that wow, very nice. Wow.
Is there really a song and an artist?
An artist named Feist,
wow.
Yeah, she's good.
You guys are hip
yeah,
and
we totally
feisty.
Are. We totally are.
We're going to a rave right after the show, Eric and I are. You wanted to talk about, and this is a great story, our President Barack Obama and his support in the state rep race, which you rarely, if ever, see, right?
I've never seen this happen before. I've never seen a sitting president of the United States get involved in a state rep race.
What's in it for him?
Well, this is the Chicago's 5th House District, and it runs from, I think, Division Street on the north down to like 79th Street on the south. It's a long, narrow state rep district. And the current state rep is a Democrat named Ken Duncan, D-U-N-K and like the donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's African-American, and his challenger is African-American. It's a little bit more than 50% African-American district. And Duncan is a Democrat, but he's been voting against Mike Madigan. He's been voting against the majority Democrats in some key votes that have really angered Madigan. And as he's gone along, he's gotten more and more defiant. And he's just basically taken away the potential power that Mike Madigan had to override some of Rauner's vetoes.
Right.
And sort of in that sense, he has contributed to the stalemate. A lot of people applaud him. Forces for the Republicans are applauding Duncan because he's helping Rauner, stand fast against the Democrats. In a sense, he's become a Republican, and he's backed in this race. He's running against the Democratic candidate, Juliana Stratton, who is she's a UIC professor. She's an anti-violence coordinator. She's got a pretty impressive resume. She's an attorney. And so and she's backed by the Democrats. And Rauner and his Republican friends have poured, I think it's like $1 million or so or more now. I haven't seen the latest figures into this campaign. And the Democrats have poured a similar amount of money. Lots and lots. You're going to be seeing this on your TV, these ads for this one narrow Chicago district. But it's become this proxy fight between Governor Rauner and Mike Madigan, and between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah.
And the reason that's so important is Duncan has split from the Democrats on some key votes. And Rauner wants to reward him for that.
Yeah.
And Madigan wants to punish him for that. And that's really important going forward because, you're looking at people are saying, who's going to break ranks? Are any of the Republicans going to break ranks? Are any Democrats going to break ranks to come to some sort of other resolution to the... I mean, we're going into, our 9th month now without a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And every day in the paper, all these stories about human services not being funded, higher education not
it's
being
shameful,
funded.
It's shameful, isn't it?
It's really bad. And,
yeah.
and this primary, this particular race is going to tell us, where the voters are and where the strength is.
Mm-hmm.
So can Madigan hold firm or can Rauner break that hold? And the thinking is that if he can keep Ken Duncan in office, then that's going to create a bit of a snowball effect for him, which is he's going to be able to get more and more Democrats to peel off. They'll be brave. They'll feel emboldened to peel off. So this morning, we see that President Obama has cut radio and TV spots for Juliana Stratton, the challenger to Duncan, which again is unprecedented. And I think Kevin said he had a little bit of.
Do you have one, Kevin?
For that, can we hear a little bit
All
of
right.
that?
30 years ago, I came to Chicago to help strengthen our community. One of the biggest lessons I learned is that follow through is everything. The people of Chicago deserve leaders who follow through. Juliana Stratton has spent her career serving our community, improving the juvenile justice system, and protecting public safety. Juliana will fight to get guns off our streets and fight for tougher penalties for violent offenders. I'm Barack Obama. I'm asking you to vote for Democrat Juliana Stratton for state representative.
You guys can send the bill to the Stratton campaign.
Right.
I think they have the money to cover it. But
how does it get to the point where, like, who approaches the president and lets him know that they want to take this measure? Because, like we said, this doesn't usually happen in a state rep race.
So obviously, the president is well tied into Chicago and Illinois. He's close with Rahm Emanuel. He's close with David Axelrod.
Yeah.
So I'm sure one
he's
of
already aware of it.
Another thing happened about this. Remember when President Obama came to Springfield? Was it about a month ago? I can't remember what the date was.
For his last, or came his anniversary or something?
Give a speech. Yeah, he came in to, yes, exactly. So it had to be, what, the 12th of February or something like
when
that.
When he was sworn in, yeah.
Something like that. So he came down and gave a speech to the General Assembly, and one of the things he was talking about was bipartisanship.
Right.
He was saying that you should be able to be independent, to be bipartisan, and not be shamed for your actions. And so when he says this, Ken Duncan, like, sort of stands up and says, yeah, like Obama is praising him. And Obama turns and says, sit down, Duncan.
Right.
I'll talk to you.
Oh, remember we wondered who
we
Duncan was.
We thought it was Duncan Keith.
We did.
Wendy and I were sure we were Duncan Keith.
Arnie Duncan,
right. No,
but that's who it's
Ken
this.
Duncan.
Oh. All right.
And so, but Duncan continued to use this. He was telling people that Obama was singling him out for praise.
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious to everyone in the audience that Obama was, first of all, was really not happy about what Duncan had been doing and was telling him to sit down.
Yeah.
And you said, we'll
it
talk
got a lot
later.
Of response.
And
you solved a big mystery.
And now we're finding out what that talk later is, which is this ad. And I think it's going to be a pretty important ad. There was a story in the Sun Times this morning that Duncan has been accused of buying votes, giving people $50.
That would never happen here in Illinois.
Not in Chicago.
Ever.
I think they've got the wrong town. But I mean, and that's an interesting development. And I haven't seen any firsthand. And I've seen what's out there. I have an independent judgment about that, but I think that's not going to play well either. But this ad is going to land really, really hard.
Could you even do that? Could you give somebody money to vote? Because you wouldn't, once they're in the booth, you don't know who they voted for.
I would just take the money and say, sure,
yeah,
I got your back.
Right.
Well, no, you can't do that. The short answer to your question.
You can't do that on several levels.
Yes.
Right? You shouldn't do that.
You can't tell if they're going to pull a Wendy on you, as they say. You get into the booth and vote who you want for. But.
Well, why? It's a deal. If I take their money, I have to vote for who they say, who I say.
Well, again, it's not an enforceable contract.
Shady to shady.
Exactly. But you'd be telling them.
Oh, yeah, I got your back.
Interesting
whatever you
thing
need.
About this 5th District, though, is that it went about 80-20 for Pat Quinn last time. So
did
it's
it?
Not a rounder district. It's
right.
A heavily Democrat. It's a Chicago African-American district. And it's heavily Democratic. It went heavily for Governor Quinn. And of course, last time Duncan won by 80% because I don't think he had token opposition. So again, this is the one race. If you were to look at one race, it's really, really going to be interesting on election night. This is the one to see. There are a couple of other places. There's a district downstate around Springfield where there's a Republican lawmaker who has broken occasionally with Rauner.
Yeah.
And Rauner's people are after him big time.
I would imagine.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars going into these campaigns. So it's a question of, like, if you step out of line. I mean, the message to legislators in both parties is if you step out of line too much, we're going to come down on you.
Yeah.
I will say this, that there are a couple of House members, Jack Franks up in Marengo, Scott Drury up in Highwood, who have voted against Madigan at times.
Oh, yeah?
And Madigan, I think Madigan's not happy about it, but I think he respects them. He respects the fact that these are principled votes. And one of the interesting things about Duncan is he doesn't seem to have any principle behind his votes. He just seems to be yanking Madigan's chain. Franks comes from a moderate district, and he votes his conscience, and so my point is that Madigan is not necessarily going after everyone who crosses him at every time. He's going after a guy who really has defied him.
It seems so. Wait, hold that thought. More with Eric Zorn if you have any questions or comments, because we're getting a lot of calls. 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls and your texts next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Feisty Chicago Tribune columnist Eric Zorn is our guest. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call or text in. Some good questions on the line. Let's go to line one. I don't know your name. I'm sorry. It's not up on the screen. Who
is this? Nina.
Nina?
Yes.
There you are, Nina. Go ahead. Did you have a question?
My understanding is that it is a law to have a balanced budget passed by the state Congress. So my question is, why haven't they been prosecuted or, impeached for not doing or breaking the law?
Eric?
Well, they would have to impeach themselves, which they're not going to do. Nina raises a good point, which is it is the law. It's in the state constitution that the General Assembly and the governor have to get together and pass a budget. And we're 9 months overdue on that. They're probably not even going to have a budget for fiscal 2016, which ends on June 30th. So, but I think the relevant question then is, is why hasn't anyone sued them on this? Because they, you could sue them on a constitutional violation. You take them to court.
Who sues them? Well, do they have to sue themselves?
Well, you have to have what's called standing, which means that you have to prove that you have been injured by this. But I think at this point you could have.
Let's all get together. Class action suit.
Perhaps not the people around this table or maybe not Nina, but certainly some of these students at Chicago State University or some of the people who are served by many of the human services organizations that have lost their funding in this budget stalemate. They could sue. I'm not sure why anyone hasn't, but that's I think
because
it's a good
if
idea.
We win the lawsuit, they say we don't have a budget, we can't pay you, so it would be impossible to win anything.
They can't.
We
can't afford to send our attorneys because we can't. I mean, it would be an interesting separation of powers issue, but
that can't be. If they don't have the money, then they have to get it somewhere because we can't go on. I mean, this is wrong.
Oh yeah. Is it Pennsylvania? Is that the other state? There's two states in the union that don't have budgets, us and I think Pennsylvania.
I think it's Pennsylvania, yeah. So I mean, I share Nita's flabbergast about this, that there hasn't been any motion forward on this in terms of the legal obligation that the state has. It's not like the Constitution suggests that maybe if they want to, the governor and General Assembly should get together and get a budget. It says they shall do this.
Yeah.
And they have not.
Great question, Nina. Thank you so much.
How long could we potentially go without a? I didn't think it would go this long, but it has.
Nobody thought it would go this long. It's startling, and it could. There's nothing that really is forcing their hand right now because 90% of state spending is being covered by court orders and other agreements. So it's only this 10% that's not being covered. And the problem with all this is that because we don't have a new budget, we're spending at the rate of the old budget. And the old budget was predicated on higher tax revenues. Our state income tax level went from 5% to 3.75. It dropped on January 1st. So we're getting in money. The money that's coming in is less than it used to be. But the money going out is 90% of what it was.
Right.
And meaning that I think the Civic Federation said we're falling behind by about $33 million a day.
Yeah.
We're spending more. We're still spending $33 million a day because of all these agreements, because of the agreements through the courts and the various parties, things they are going to fund.
Yeah.
So we're falling further and further behind, meaning that the problem gets harder and harder to solve with cuts and tax increases. So the cuts have to be deeper and the tax increases have to be greater when we finally do solve the problem. The answer to your question on how long can this go? Nobody knows. We're already in uncharted territory. I mean, could it go 4 years? I mean, Rauner's going to be governor for another 3 years. It's possible. No one right now sees what's going to break the logjam.
Amazing. We only have a minute, Eric. This is the craziest presidential race of all time. Is there a particular story from the past week that stands out to you? What's your favorite?
I wanted to read a couple of my favorite tweets. So you have 30 seconds.
Sure.
How about the Republicans haven't got a single candidate who could survive a Willy Wonka factory tour? That's from Cagrox. In high school, Ted Cruz could have been voted most likely to be seen walking on the beach in his dress shoes. And here's one that I accidentally pressed 2 for Spanish and Donald Trump's security team came out of nowhere to deport me. And this is just a question somebody raises. When are the people who say Barack Hussein Obama going to start referring to Rafael Edward Cruz?
Oh, interesting.
Ted Cruz's name is Rafael Edward Cruz.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the Barack Hussein Obama people are going to come out.
Very, very funny.
Anyway, some great stuff on Twitter. I can bring some of those in every week if you want. I'm feeling feisty. You know?
Well, you are feisty. You can't fight that. That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Read him whenever you get a chance. Thank you, Eric.
Good to see you guys.
We'll take a quick break and find out what's on the Wintrust business lunch next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.